who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition as of September 15th, 2023.
All right.
Ken and I are both former Disneyland Custodial cast members, and we talk Disneyland. And on this episode, we always talk about the latest in the Disneyland Resort news. We call it current events. So that's what this episode's about. We are also authors of two books called Cleaning the Kingdom. And you can get those on our website signed by both of us at thesweepspot.com. You can get them on Amazon, and you can get them digital copies wherever those are found, and audiobooks of both of those where you find audiobooks, Audible and Apple and all that. Also, if you'd like to join our Patreon and help us support the show and pay our bills, you can join. We have some great perks. You can get one bonus episode per month that we record specifically for that. And then you can also join us once a month for our current events live that we do. Usually it's like somewhere in the beginning of the month, beginning to mid of the month. And I send out a notice ahead of time. And if you can join us, then that's great. And everyone seems to have a really good time doing that. So we have a lot of news to discuss tonight. So we should probably get right into that. But before we do that, we're going to have the D180.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Consi Ears, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our adventure this week in the Meyer Werft shipyard of Papenburg, Germany, where work continues on the Disney Treasure, the Disney Cruise Line's newest ship. Disney released a huge batch of details about the new ship over the past few days, and we can't wait to share them with you. For the most part, the ship's layout resembles the Disney Wish, its most recent ship to hit the waves. Rather than recreate the same offerings, though, Disney as Imagineers created a wholly different experience more in line with the ship's name, Treasure, and they came up with some really interesting ways to tie the ship back to Disney's most iconic theme park attractions. Walt Disney World fans of a certain age likely remember the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea attraction, a somewhat similar attraction to the original Tomorrowland subs. Disneyland fans of a somewhat older age might remember a 20,000 Leagues walkthrough exhibit right there in their park too. I'm looking forward to the Periscope Pub on the Treasure. The designs of this new lounge experience point back to these classic attractions and the commanding performances of Kirk Douglas and James Mason from the original Disney film. Drink selections will be tailored to the exotic undersea destinations visited in the film. You will find details around the room in books, charts, and even geographic coordinates on instruments all around. Also, there's a giant squid as part of the decor. I might spend an entire cruise in this room. Another major onboard destination is the Skipper Society. This lounge gives tribute to the Jungle Cruise attractions across the world and their destinations, also across the world. Lush plant life throughout simulates the same river locations you visit on every Jungle Cruise. Architectural features around the room specifically invoke the Magic Kingdom's departure and arrival building that has greeted guests since 1971. Enjoy crafted cocktails in small plates with ingredients gathered by skippers on their lengthy sojourns through dangerous waters. The music throughout will take you back to their adventures. Snippets of skipper spiel in multiple languages ensure that you'll be picking up your translator app to maybe get in on those jokes too. Take a brief trip through your imagination to a location that most of us are unlikely to see outside video tours of the ship. In the Tomorrow Tower Suite, Imagineers created a tribute to the Epcot of yesterday and tomorrow. Figment, that delightful sprite, is hiding around the suite in multiple clever locations. When you enter the suite, the grand staircase around the center of the room lights up with lighting and musical effects in a tribute to Spaceship Earth, the icon of Epcot. I'm looking forward to, seeing videos of this someday. Unless there's a generous listener who's very partial to these ads. Huh? If you want to join in on the maiden voyage of the Disney treasure, you'll have to act fast. Sales for the general public go live on September 20th. There's a ton of excitement about this new ship, considering there can be only one maiden voyage, and this one is 7 nights long. You might want to save up for a later trip. Our concierge planners can help you find the right trip for you and your money and time budgets. Those who prefer to stay on land will find some major savings all the way through March of 2024. Book a Walt Disney World trip and get yourself some Disney dining credits worth up to $1,000 depending on the length of your trip and your pick of resort hotel. It's a great way to enjoy all the delicious dining in the parks without having to fork out too much between your room and park tickets. Give us a call and we will step you through all of those details. And that's 180 seconds! I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Concierge. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Concierge, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport. Any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, do you have anything for us?
Oh, Lynn, there's a few things. Before we get started, I wanted to say thank you for soldiering through and doing this. I know you're under the weather, so I will take on the bulk of the reporting this time. Last time we tried something different, but this time you're kind of under the weather, so I wanted to spare your voice a little bit. And but you know, a lot has happened since we last recorded a couple of weeks ago. For instance, Brittany McDonald in the Orange County Register reports Disneyland theme park expansion moves one step closer with impact study. And as he says here in the article, Disneyland's long-term plans for theme park retail and parking expansion moved one step closer to reality with the release of a key report by the city of Anaheim as Disney continues to reimagine what the future of the resort district will look like over the next 4 decades. Anaheim released a 17,000 1,000-page environmental impact report on Thursday, September 14th, for Disney's expansion initiative known as Disneyland Forward. So if those of you who are new to all of this, of course, Disneyland, as we said in our last episode, which is kind of an overview of Disneyland history, Disneyland underwent resort expansion starting in late 1990s, and it was finished in 2001. And that was, you know, opening up a second theme park, adding a hotel, adding a retail dining entertainment district. So, but now, you know, it's been over 20 years, so they're looking to the future of further expansion at the resort. And as it says here, Disneyland hopes to have the project go before the Anaheim City Council for approval before the end of 2024. A public workshop outlining highlights of the Disneyland Forward Environmental Impact Report will be held on October 9th at Anaheim City Hall. And as it says here, further down, compared to the 1990s, Disneyland has reduced the number of vehicle miles traveled through employee carpool programs, shuttle services, telecommuting, public transit, and housing cast members in the catacombs on the property. I added that last part. But that's amazing that Disneyland has reduced the number of... Well, one way they reduce number of vehicle miles is cast members can't afford their own vehicles. No, I'm sorry. No. That's not actually not funny, but...
No.
I apologize, people. They've been encouraging people to carpool and shuttle and all that sort of thing. So that's actually remarkable that if they've reduced the number of vehicle miles traveled through, that's quite impressive.
Yeah.
As it says further down, Disneyland would limit noise by building temporary sound buffering barriers during construction and permanent 12-foot tall noise barriers along property lines around the park expansion. Fireworks would be prohibited in the proposed expansion areas. They're talking about the area that's around the Disneyland Hotel and the Pixar Hotel, kind of around there, because if you go the next block over to the west, it's residential. It's really close there, and so, you know, they're saying I wouldn't be surprised if Disney moves away from having actual fireworks and just goes with newer technologies like drones and things like that. But I don't know. There's something to be said about exploding gunpowder, but anyway, as it says further down in the article, building setbacks would require Disney to limit the aesthetic impacts on nearby neighborhoods. Certain rides would be forbidden within 200 to 300 feet of the residences, effectively outlawing outdoor elevated roller coasters west of Disneyland Drive. So they would have to, any thrill rides would be indoor, or you know, they would have to do things carefully with that in mind. A new 360-degree architecture design program included in the Disneyland Forward Environmental Impact Report would prohibit unfinished backstage areas like the backside of Cars Land from facing onto Catella Avenue or other public spaces. New buildings along residential Walnut Street, that's the street that runs to the very extreme west of the resort, okay? Walnut Street would have a 50-foot height max and landscape setback requirements. Portions of Magic Way, that's the roadway between the Disneyland Hotel and the Mickey and Friends and Pixar, you know, Friends parking structure, would be abandoned as part of the Disneyland Forward project. So sounds like they would actually, you know, that's a, you can turn off of Walnut and drive on Magic Way and then go over to Disneyland Drive.
Oh, but it goes through?
It sounds like it wouldn't after this is done, is what it sounds like. because by abandoned, they mean the city would no longer be responsible for it.
Right.
The immersive theme park West Side expansion envisions a theme park on the downtown Disney and Lilo and Stitch parking lots woven amid the Disneyland Hotel and Paradise Pier Hotel, currently undergoing a transformation into a Pixar Place Hotel. Disney officials describe the West Side site bounded by Catella Avenue, Walnut Street, Magic Way, and Disneyland Drive as more of a theme park expansion than a new third gate. The Disneyland Entertainment Destination East Side Expansion. So now we're going to the East Side, right? The Disneyland Entertainment Destination East Side Expansion would bring together theme park experiences, hotels, retail, dining, and entertainment on the Toy Story parking lot next to the Anaheim Convention Center. It's across the street from the Anaheim Convention Center, but across Harbor Boulevard, if you're looking at Google Maps. The Disneyland Forward plan envisions two pedestrian bridges over Disneyland Drive and up to three over Harbor Boulevard that would connect to a 17,000 space east side garage along Disney Way. That would be the world's largest parking structure. So basically they're talking about a huge parking structure that's kind of between Harbor Boulevard and the Interstate 5. The Disneyland Forward conceptual development plan stays within Disney's existing 500-acre property in Anaheim with no physical expansion or additional acreage. I wanted to talk about that last part.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people who say that Disney should buy more of the land on Harbor Boulevard, you know, from the existing businesses. There is a little bit of vacant land too currently. Which is hard to believe, but there is. But there's some people saying, you know, Disney should just buy all of that or buy more of it and just, you know, remake things in their image, or put the third gate down. See, you could do a third theme park in the eastern southern edge, you know, where they currently have the Toy Story lot,
yeah,
parking lot and the cast member lot, you know. They could do a theme park there, because, and the advantage of that is it's more of a traditional plot of land for a theme park. The downside is that it's not connected to the other two directly. You know, if you want to share backstage amenities, it helps to be physically adjacent. And so people are saying, well, you know, although the article says it's more of an expansion instead of a third park, you could do a third park amid the hotels, but it's not going to be shaped like the other parks. You could do it though.
Smaller.
And there's people trying to read the tea leaves, right? They're saying, oh, look, it says, you know, that there's going to be a family ride here. You know, all of that stuff, even if Disney currently has, you know, knows exactly what it wants to put there, there might be plans, but it would all change before anything actually gets built. I mean, right. If you go back and look at what was proposed, 1990, 1991, 1992, 1993, you know, around there, if you look at what was proposed back then compared to what got built, you know, starting in 1998, it's very different. I mean, think the important thing about Disneyland Forward is establishing the zoning. Say, look, you know, we can build different things here. You know, it doesn't have to be just hotel space. Mm-hmm. And talking about the sight lines and the noise, because of the neighborhoods, which brings me to, I'll let you jump in just a second, but I you know, while I'm thinking about it, I want to say, as I said, people say, well, they should just buy more of the land along Harbor Boulevard, you know, buy the the Garden Walk and all that stuff. It was occurring to me, you know, it's like they really should see granted, it wouldn't be cheap, but they really should see if they could buy some of the residential land westward, you know, and turn that into back of house or parking or something, because it is, you know, I think it would be tough to live somewhere that close to the theme park. And, you know, we always say, well, you know, Disneyland was there before most of these residents. Yes, but Disneyland, you know, we're talking about areas now that were not close to theme. You know, you had the quiet hotel strip that was between these residences and the theme park stuff. And now if you're talking about doing more busy stuff closer to those residences, it might be worth considering, you know, what if we bought all that up, you know, turned it into DVC area, you know, Disney Vacation Club, whatever, so that it's, you know, it's just something to consider. I know it would be controversial because cities are pushing to, the state is pushing cities to add housing, not take it away. So, anyway, well, did you have anything you wanted to say about this before I say more?
Well, just a few things, but to go with what you just said, if they were to buy some of the neighborhoods, they could then buy land somewhere else to, as like a, you know, replacement, I guess.
That's an excellent point. Thank you for bringing that up. I hadn't even thought about that. That is, you know, granted it wouldn't be cheap, but can you imagine if they made a deal and they said, we're going to build some really great housing and we're going, you know, we'll build the school, you know, the neighborhood school, we'll, you know, do all that. We'll build that somewhere, over here. If you let us make a deal for this, you know, I could totally see that. I could totally see that. Now, it cost a pretty penny, but I think it would be worth it, you know.
Yeah,
if you really want to make this a week-long vacation destination, you know.
That's just what I was going to say, is that I book vacations for concierge, and when people want to book a trip to Walt Disney World, it's usually for about a week. It seems to be an average of about 5 days to 8 days, somewhere in there.
Of course, of course.
Disneyland, my average stay is about 3 nights, 2 days, 3 days top. You know, I have some people that want to go for 5 days, but that's kind of rare. So I think if they wanted to make it where people would stay there just as long as Disney World or even close to it, and only stay on Disney property, because Southern California has so many other things that you can do, they would have to add, and the demand's definitely there. I mean, if you've been to the parks anytime in the last 10 years, the demand is definitely, you know, there to fill up two parks right now. A third park would kind of help distribute the crowds, I think.
Yeah. Well, And that's another point is, you know, the article says expansion rather than a third gate. But, you know, if Disney can, they would rather have a third gate, because that brings in gate. I mean, there's many reasons, but it brings in gate revenue. I mean, if you can charge a separate ticket or, you know, a separate park hopping charge or whatever, it's more lucrative for Disney to spread out the same number of attractions over more parks than it is to say, we've got two parks already and we're going to pack them with as many attractions as we can.
Well, that's the problem, is if you keep adding attractions and not adding space, then you have, I mean, we could talk about this all night, and maybe we should do a bonus episode on this subject, but it's interesting, and I know that this is looking way into the future, but they have to think ahead, especially the way that things are progressing. So
they do. They have to. This is all forward thinking about, you know, we're talking about stuff that's going to be relevant over the next 20 years or more, you know. So,
wow.
Yep. We could talk about it. Maybe we should do it for a bonus episode. But you brought up some really excellent points there. That's amazing that it's, you know, there's just so much we could talk about. Yeah. I wanted to, associated with this, Brady pointed out that they might have transportation systems added. You know, they, I always like this word in the headline. Disneyland may bring back People Mover and Skyway for a theme park expansion. When they say Skyway, they're more talking about the sky, like the Skyliner system at Walt Disney World. But right.
Wouldn't that be amazing, as going up Harbor Boulevard with the Skyway?
You know, that would be so. Just think about the visuals of that. You know, it's already such an interesting street when you have the monorail going by. You know,
right?
The proposed theme park rides or themed ride systems are buried deep in the 17,000-page environmental impact report released this week by the city of Anaheim for Disney's expansion initiative known as Disneyland Forward. Photos labeled example of ride crossing in the EIR show the Disney Skyliner and the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover at Walt Disney World in Florida. The themed ride systems are envisioned as a possible complement or alternative to proposed pedestrian bridges across Harbor Boulevard and Disneyland Drive as a way to move visitors between their cars and the parks. And there's a quote in here. These crossings may be in the form of a bridge and sunken roadway similar to the existing Downtown Disney Bridge, an elevated bridge with similar aesthetic treatments and dimensions as the existing Downtown Disney Bridge, or a themed ride system according to the EIR. So that would be interesting if they did that. Anyway, people, you can check out, I mean, if you go to some place like Google Maps or some similar program, you can see, if you go over the resort area and look to the west, you can see, you know, the residential areas that, I mean, you know, those are, you know, you walk across the street and you can get over to the Disneyland Hotel, you know, and it's just like, imagine being able to do that. But like it would be interesting if Disney just made some sort of deal for that area. Yeah. But that's not mentioned at all in these articles. All the only thing that's mentioned is just keeping those in mind when you're talking about height and noise for the development. Anyway, MiceChat.com has a thing from Dusty Sage called Disneyland Forward Explained, charting the course for future adventures. Of course, Laughing Place covered it too. They have Anaheim releases environmental impact report for public review for Disneyland Forward. Mike Mack has that. If you, as always, the links for all of these are going to be on thesweepspot.com. You could go there and click through and see all the imagery. And again, people get excited about the imagery, like, oh, they're going to have this ride or that one. No, we don't really know until the shovels, you know, hit the dirt. And even then, some of the stuff can change before it gets completed. So nothing's concrete at Disneyland except for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Okay. Some exciting stuff out of Destination D, or that's the event, right? The Orange County Register reports, again, Bertie McDonald, Disneyland teases world-jumping ride vehicle for Marvel Multiverse e-ticket attraction. A new e-ticket dark ride coming to Avengers Campus in DCA will transport riders aboard a world-jumping spaceship to remote worlds and alternate realities throughout the Marvel Multiverse. New concept art from Walt Disney Imagineering teases the planned Avengers Campus attraction that has been in development for more than 4 years, suggesting the highly anticipated ride that still does not have an official name or groundbreaking date may be inching closer to reality. Inching closer to reality. The e-ticket ride vehicle features a design that combines elements of Tony Stark's time suits with Xandarian jump points and Wakandan technology, Imagineering Executive Creative Director Brent Strong said on a video posted to Instagram. And if you don't know what those things are, you know, sorry, you're just not in the loop as far as Marvel stuff goes. But the new e-ticket attraction will blend large-scale built environments and immersive media, according to Imagineering. So what that means is there's going to be physical sets that you're riding through, but there's some of it's going to involve projections and screens and things like that. That's the current plan. Imagineering appears to be working on a high-tech ride vehicle with a motion-based platform. As you know, as we know, they have those trackless ride vehicles that they use now. Like you could see them, you could experience them with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Rise of the Resistance, you know, pretty popular with Imagineering lately. You know, they had kind of talked about doing something like that for when they were planning out the Indiana Jones adventure, but ultimately decided they had to have something that was connected, physically connected to the system under the floor. So, but it'd be interesting if they actually go ahead and have something that is, that appears to be free, a free rolling system and has motion simulation on it and stuff like that. Again, you know, didn't Tom Morris bring this up on something, you know, making the vehicle so expensive that you can't spend the money in the rest of the attraction, you know, and you're making the vehicle so expensive and complicated that
I think that part of that is that they only have so much room, and to do an attraction that doesn't have any of the you know, screens or whatever you want to call it, that requires less room, like, you know what I'm saying? So if you were
absolutely,
if they do have that, it's like that, if you go on Google Maps, you know, we've been talking about that, there is that parking lot that's kind of right behind Cars Land and Avengers Campus in that area, that's fairly big. I imagine that's where they'll put a show building for this attraction. But it's funny that they've already kind of changed. They had a whole nother concept of this attraction. Well, not very detailed, but they did mention it. Was it at D23 last year, I believe? And it was something about Thanos and this and that. I feel like they've kind of gotten away from that now and kind of changed the direction of it a little bit. They definitely need... I heard this on another podcast. They definitely need something bigger in that. I know that the tower, what is it? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mission Breakout.
I don't know. I know it's part of the land, but I'd never really consider it there because it was there before. There. Yeah. But, you know, it's sort of like Galaxy's Edge when it opened with Millennium Falcon first. You could kind of look at Millennium Falcon the way that Spider-Man ride is for Avengers Campus, and they need that bigger attraction to kind of balance out the land, because Spider-Man's a family friendly, you know, it's all, there's no height restriction, right? And what replaced Bugs Land, where they had no height restrictions on those rides, I don't think.
Right.
So they had to make Spider-Man a no height restricted attraction, but they definitely need an e-ticket attraction to kind of balance out that land. Anyways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll see what they end up doing, you know.
Yeah.
A lot can change, hopefully. I mean, if they had like a top-notch, like Rise of the Resistance style attraction there, you know, and Mission Breakout is a great attraction. It really is.
Yeah.
And if they get, if they do something with the Hollywood area, that park is going to be just absolutely, I mean, it's a pretty good park as it is. Mm-hmm. But if you get those things done, then yeah, really, that's going to be a top-notch situation there. Oh, yeah. But we'll have to see. You know, a lot can change, and some of these announcements were very kind of non-committal.
Very vague.
Let's see. Laughing Place has that story about the jumping vehicles and the time jumping vehicles. There's also the store is going to open up. Laughing Place had that Avengers Vault to open September 18th at DCA. Tony Betty reported on that, saying that located adjacent to Avengers headquarters in Avengers campus at DCA is a new merchandise experience that's set to arrive with Avengers Vault opening on September 18th. That's coming right up here as we record. Avengers Vault arrives at DCA as the superstore featuring Avengers Campus in Hollywoodland Stage 17 closed previously, allowing for future experiences and private functions in that space. So basically they're moving from, you know, they're moving the merchandise. I'm sure we'll get reports on that store. Hopefully it's something worth noting and not just, you know, not just, hey, here's the merchandise. Wow. Brady McDonald reports at the Register that Disneyland to reopen Adventureland Treehouse this fall after 2-year refurbishment. And Disneyland will reopen the Adventureland Treehouse this fall after a refurbishment project that has stretched for more than 2 years. The fall opening date means the Adventureland Treehouse will return sometime between late September and late December. Most of the scaffolding and scrims that have encased the 80-foot tall man-made tree, what's he talking about? That thing's always been there. Over the past 2 years have been removed as Walt Disney Imagineering tests and adjusts an elaborate water wheel system with bamboo buckets. The new Adventureland Treehouse, inspired by Walt Disney's Swiss Family Robinson, pays tribute to Disneyland's original Swiss Family Treehouse, while also serving as a tie-in to a new Swiss Family Robinson television show in the works for Disney Plus streaming service. A family of five who possess magical and unique gifts that help them survive life in the jungle will soon be moving into the Adventureland Treehouse once work is complete on their new home, according to the backstory created for the rethemed Disneyland attraction. And for those of you who don't know, the original Swiss Family Treehouse, based on the 1960 Disney film, opened at Disneyland in 1962. The Disneyland attraction was rethemed in 1999 as Tarzan's Treehouse, based on the Disney animated film from the same year about a boy raised by apes. The Adventureland Treehouse has been closed since September 2021, an unusually long time for an attraction retheme. So yeah, the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse goes all the way back to 1962. You know, when Adventureland opened originally with the park in 1955, the only real attraction was the Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. And then they added the Enchanted Tiki Room, and they added the treehouse first, 1962, but then they added the Enchanted Tiki Room in 1963, and then Indiana Jones in 1995. They really, people say, well, why did you change it from the Swiss Family Robinson to Tarzan's Treehouse? And the answer is because it probably was going to get taken out otherwise. It was just that was the thinking at the time by Disneyland management. It was, you know, get rid of this, replace it with a store or something like that. But Imagineering said, we can make it more relevant to today's guests because the movie Tarzan. Mm-hmm. And so they did. But you know, all these years later, it's like, let's turn it into something else. So there we go. Did you looking forward to that, Lynn?
It's been taking a very long time to do this. So they said the fall, right? So that could be anywhere between now and December. So yeah. Hopefully, I would think the plan is before Thanksgiving, because that's when the crowds really start coming in.
Oh yeah.
So
I would sure hope so.
Yes. Hopefully, sometime in the next month or so.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I think there's gonna be a lot of Easter eggs and things like that. You know, we'll see. Yeah. Well, Fantasmic, you know, we had the little problem with Fantasmic and it's been on hiatus. I hate to use that word, but as Brady reported, Disneyland replaces Fantasmic with new nighttime projection show. Now, that headline, I don't think Brady chooses the wording of the headlines. Those are usually chosen by somebody else, but that makes it sound like, well, Fantasmic's never coming back.
Right.
And, I mean, maybe it won't, but I'm hoping it will. But this is what they're playing. What it's supposed to mean is, while Fantasmic is on hiatus, this is what we're doing. And as it says, a nighttime projection show featuring a jazz score that may be set to music from Soul will play on the Rivers of America while Disneyland retools the Fantasmic Nighttime Spectacular following the inferno that consumed the show's fire-breathing dragon. The new Heartbeat of New Orleans Nighttime Projection Show will debut September 29th on the Rivers of America at the Anaheim Theme Park while Fantasmic undergoes an extensive makeover through spring 2024. Disneyland describes the new nighttime projection show as a living mural set to a jazz score that tells a whimsical tale of a mischievous bayou frog lured to New Orleans by the music he hears in the distance. This will be interesting. See how this turns out. The new Heartbeat of New Orleans joins Queenie and the Jambalaya Jazz Band as temporary replacements for Fantasmic, while the popular nighttime spectacular remains on hiatus following the stunning fire that engulfed the show's 45-foot-tall animatronic dragon in April. The Jambalaya Jazz Band has been performing nightly aboard a raft on the Rivers of America since July. The Heartbeat of New Orleans and Queenie and the Jambalaya Jazz Band will run on select evenings in October during the Halloween season and nightly in November and December during the Christmas holiday season. All right.
Yeah, sounds good.
Nice to see they're taking the opportunity to do something new, you know?
Right.
And Laughing Place has a story on that as well. And speaking of New Orleans, now open, Tiana's Palace at Disneyland. Full details, that's at micechat.com by Dusty Sage, as he says, let the good times roll. Tiana's Palace has officially opened at Disneyland. The restaurant, which is a retheme of the old French Market in New Orleans Square, has a whole new look and menu. We were able to preview Tiana's new eatery a day early and have some great news and views for you below. And you can just to see all that, you can click through at thisweepspot.com. We'll have the link to it. Lynn, what do you think about all this going on in New Orleans?
That I've heard a lot of good things about the food that they've added there. I haven't heard really anything bad about it. So maybe it's something I need to try next time.
A new restaurant and a new nighttime entertainment. And
Yeah.
It's really hopping there.
It is.
And speaking of the restaurants, Disneyland News new menus and stiff drinks at three table service restaurants. And that's another Dusty Sage story over at micechat.com. Something I think I forgot to mention on previous mentions of them adding these alcoholic drinks is, won't it mean, I mean, obviously there's, you know, there's storage involved, there's training involved, but isn't it going to mean bigger tips for the servers? I'm hoping servers get bigger tips. You know, because people tend to spend more if they're buying alcoholic drinks. But anyway, starting September 12th, so it's started. Disneyland Resort has updated its menus to add alcohol to three more restaurants in the park: Carnation Cafe, Riverbell Terrace, and Cafe Orleans. To entice guests to visit these dining locations and for reasons beyond having a new place to consume alcoholic drinks, Disney has also added other new food and drinks to these venues. And let's take a look. So again, if you want to see that, click through and we'll have a link to the Mice Chat story. Times they are a changing one.
Yeah, I've heard both arguments for this, but it's happening. So I just hope that they don't ever go to the point where you could just walk up and buy a beer and walk around, you know. There's a place for that, and I just felt like Disneyland
it seemed like some of these drinks were themed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice touch. I have to say, I'm not a teetotaler, but I'm not a big alcohol drinker, and I just, for plenty of reasons. One of them is that I'm frugal. I don't think I would be getting these at the resort, but you know, there's people who want them, and of course they're trying to appeal to a more international audience. So there you go. Well, here's some news that's been a long time coming. Disney agrees to $9.5 million settlement over Magic Key annual pass dispute. CNN reported this. Samantha DeLua at CNN reported this, and the Register carried it. The Walt Disney Company agreed to pay $9.5 million to settle, or I should say $9.5 million, to settle a class action lawsuit that accused the entertainment giant of, quote, deceptive business practices, end quote, in regard to its Disneyland annual pass program. According to a court filing, the federal lawsuit filed in California alleged that some of Disneyland's Magic Key annual pass holders were unable to make park reservations on certain days in 2021, despite being promised no blockout dates for entry at the Anaheim, California parks. The suit alleges that that quote unquote thousands of people with Magic Key passes may have been affected and were eligible to participate in the class action suit. The settlement will likely translate to, okay, folks, are you sitting down? Okay, because, you know, here comes Santa Claus, all right? The settlement will likely translate to a $67.41 check for each member of the class action suit, according to the filing. There's no word on if Disney said, why don't we just offer them all a churro? It's about the same cost. No, I'm... Disneyland's Magic Key Pass program was introduced 2 years ago, replacing the theme park's legacy annual pass program, the special ticket granted pass holders access to a Disney park for the entire year. What do you think about this so far, Lynn?
Well, if you do the math, you know, 9.5 and then how much? So it's affecting, what, 140,000 people?
Yeah, something like that. That's
interesting. So if you qualify for that, and not all the people, not everyone that has a Magic Key will get that. It's the certain dates, and then also a certain level of pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, you know who wins in class action lawsuits? The lawyers. Oh, yeah. I guarantee you the lawyers are getting a lot more than that. So that's what happens in class action lawsuits. A lot of times it's like, well, you know, you're going to get $5 because you're part of the class. But the lawyers are getting paid big time. So pass holders who were part of the class action should expect to receive a notice of the settlement in the coming months that will inform them to expect payment. The judge will then set a final approval hearing to make the deal official. And the Register does say, they do have an article, how to get your Disneyland Magic Key class action settlement. And as they say, each of the 103,435 Dream Key holders will get $67.41 as a result of the class action suit filed by Disneyland Magic Key annual pass holder Janelle Nielsen of Santa Clara County. How will annual pass holders get paid? Well, the money, which works out to about 5% of the total cost of the Dream Key, will be sent by mail or snail mail. What do pass holders need to get their money? Nothing. Disneyland Key pass holders will be automatically enrolled in the disbursement fund and do not need to submit a claim to get paid. What if you've moved or changed email addresses? The settlement administrator plans to set up a website where you can update your snail mail or email addresses. When will the pass holders get paid? Dream Key pass holders won't see their payout for at least 3 months. The payments won't begin until a judge reviews the terms of the deal and approves the settlement, which is expected to happen on October 7th. Payments will be made within 60 days of the final judgment. And then Disney will probably bump up the costs of a bunch of things because they're not going to eat the cost of this.
So, right on time, right? Because usually in October,
MyChat.com does cover this. They have a story about Photo Matt has that Disneyland Magic Key lawsuit settlement details. Yeah. And something that story notes is, what a coincidence, Disneyland halts sales of all new Magic Key annual passes. This is Brady McDonald again at the Register saying, you know, Disneyland has paused new sales of the top priced Inspire Key annual pass, meaning none of the four Magic Key tiers is currently available for purchase. The $1,000 $1,599 Inspire Key, the $1,099 Belief Key, the $699 Enchant Key, and the $449 Imagine Key are now available for renewal only during the month before expiration, according to the Disneyland website. Pausing new Magic Key sales was a business decision made by Disney before the results of the lawsuit settlement were released, according to Disneyland officials. Well, that's interesting phrasing, because it was made before the results of the lawsuit settlement were released. I mean, Disney was aware of what was happening, you know, that before the results of the lawsuit were released, they knew what the outcome was going to be.
Right.
Now, whether or not that factored into their decision, I don't know. But, you know, could just be, you know, look, we've got too many of them right now. Let's put a pause on it.
Yeah.
The post-lawsuit version of the Magic Key annual pass program comes with new terms and conditions to explicitly spell out theme park capacity restrictions. Quote, "We will let you in when we decide to let you in." No, that's not. The quote says, "Disney allocates daily park reservations among passes and daily theme park tickets, and therefore makes available to those pass holders eligible to make reservations for a particular day only a portion of this total park reservation capacity." That's according to the terms and conditions. Again, another quote, "A pass, therefore, does not guarantee park entry, even on dates when a pass is not blocked out and even when a theme park is not at capacity. The terms and conditions make clear that Disneyland determines the number of reservations available to pass holders. To prevent similar litigation, a clause in the Magic Key contract requires key holders to waive the right to file a class action lawsuit." So,
yeah.
It's interesting that this happened in the first place. You'd think they would have had wording. I mean, maybe they thought they did have wording that would have prevented this, and the courts just simply, not the court. I mean, it didn't really come, it came to a settlement. It wasn't, it didn't go to trial.
Right.
But Disney obviously said, you know, why don't we settle this instead of taking it to trial? For, you know, for whatever reason, they thought settling it was a better idea than taking it to trial. Trials can get expensive, you know.
Yeah.
So.
True.
Anything else to say about that before I move on?
No, not really.
All right. You know, if you're itching to comment on these stories, people, join our Patreon. And we do once a month when we're recording this episode, or the current events episode, we do have our Patreon supporters can be in our chat group and they can add comments, and they can comment on stories that we've already talked about. They can do that. And sometimes we'll include those in the program. So consider joining our Patreon and supporting the show. So I will move on. The other news they announced was the D23 Expo expands to Disneyland and Hana Center in 2024. Because before it was basically at the Anaheim Convention Center and that was it, right?
Right.
Which is pretty big space, but as they say here, the former D23 Expo has shortened its name. Now it's just going to be Expo. No, just kidding. The former D23 Expo has shortened its name, changed its dates, and will spread its footprint beyond the Anaheim Convention Center in 2024 to include fan events at Disneyland, the Honda Center, and even Angel Stadium. D23 will return to the Anaheim Convention Center on August 9th through 11th in 2024 for exhibits, panels, presentations, and shopping tied to all things Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars. D23 will host a kickoff celebration across the street at the Disneyland Resort on August 8th. Larger nighttime marquee shows will take place at the Honda Center following daytime events at the Anaheim Convention Center. The home of the NHL's Anaheim Ducks, which were once owned by Disney when the team was known as the Mighty Ducks, is located about 3 miles away from the convention center on Catella Avenue. Yeah, it's just on the other side of the 57 freeway, so it's conveniently located. Okay, D23 has dropped Expo from its name for next year's fan event that moves from an early September run to early August. Yep. Make your plans now, folks. If you want to.
So many things to say.
Folks, if you want to plan your visit, contact Lynn. Visit, you know.
Yeah. Contact Lynn. Hotels are booking now for those dates. So if you want to go to the expo, I advise you to do it now. Contact me. So a couple things on this. At first I thought, what in the world? But it makes sense, because if you call it just expo, that's like claiming that it's just in one area, maybe, but because it's all over the city now, well, not all over, but in different locations. I think they're also trying to be, you know, like Comic-Con utilizes other areas of San Diego when that happens, the big one. And I think they're trying to Well, for one, the demand was really high for some of these bigger panel or events, you know, that would could take place. The demand was very high. So by putting this in the arena, that'll fix that. I wonder if they probably have some kind of transportation going back and forth.
Would imagine they would have shuttles. I mean, I could also imagine Uber and Lyft drivers are going to make out like bandits.
Yeah. You know? I just, because a lot of people fly in for this from different parts of the world or country, and they, you know, they're not going to have their cars. And it's just interesting how this is. We'll find out more as it gets closer, but the Honda Center, you know, has reserves, you know, has like rows and seats and everything. So I'm just wondering if you purchase like a seat, then you kind of have it reserved. You don't have to wait, get there at 4 a.m. like some people did to get a closer seat.
You would think that could do it that way. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's an arena. It's the kind of arena, you know, it has, of course, NHL.
Right.
And it has concerts, and they've had Disney shareholder meetings there.
Right.
You know, WWE events have been there. I mean, it's
concert. Yeah,
it's an arena. It's a major arena. So yeah.
And the date change to August, I think, is smart, because I think last year when it was in September, you know, a lot of people have already kind of started school at that point. August, this is just before school starts for a lot of places. So I think that's good.
Yeah. Well, hasn't it bounced back and forth between August and September? Yeah.
It was in July 1 year also.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bounced around a few times.
That'll be interesting to see how many people they can, you know, for some of the more popular panels or presentations, you know, if they could do them there and at the arena.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Yep.
Very good.
All right. Well, as always, mystat.com has updates on Disneyland. They have, there was one from Dusty Sage called Disneyland Update, San Fran Uh-Oh, Halloween Rewind, and Coming Soon. That was back on September 4th. And he says here, and just like that, it's Halloween. After a week of uncomfortably high heat, Disneyland launched Halloween Time. And the magic of the season materialized with spooky clouds and even a brief downpour. We'll show you how this Halloween season is almost exactly the same as last year. But that's not all that's going on at the Disneyland Resort. San Francisco Square officially opened with a new menu at Aunt Cass Cafe, a new shop, and a heartwarming Baymax meet and greet. Unfortunately, there are a few construction shortcuts season fans might raise an eyebrow at. And looking ahead, Tiana's Palace Restaurant opens at Disneyland later this week, and Haunted Mansion is planning for a big expansion. Let's take a look at all the new things, plus construction, refurbishments, some smaller news items you'll want to see. There, you know, these updates are just loaded with photos, you know, really big photos. So you can go through and click through and see it. Again, go to thesweepspot.com, click on through the current events. Mm-hmm. And Dusty Sage had another update on the 11th. The Disneyland update snubbed, overlooked, and sold out. And he said it's been a roller coaster week at Disneyland with the opening of the revamped Tiana's Palace, success of the new San Francisco Dining District, and near completion of the Adventureland Treehouse and Disneyland Villas Hotel Tower, the resort is letting the good times roll. But it's not all great news. We broke the news about the Magic Key settlement details, which has unsurprisingly led to all Magic Keys being marked as temporarily sold out. Are changes and price increases on the way? Well, of course they are. On top of it all, there was a bunch of news about the Disney parks projects around the world, but Disneyland was mostly snubbed. We'll share all of that and much more, including construction updates around the resort. Yeah, still no, you know, at the Destination D, there was still nothing about Tomorrowland. So, no.
There was a small thing mentioned. What is it? Star Tours, they mentioned.
Oh, well, yes. Shame on me for forgetting that. Yes, they will have... they'll have a popular character, Star Wars character, added.
Ahsoka.
To the Star Tours thing, which I'm assuming she's the one that appears in, you know, the halfway point of the ride, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
So I don't want to give any spoilers in case you're unfamiliar with the attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I decided not. I wasn't going to include that, and we had.
No, that's okay. But I was when they mentioned that, I thought, and that's not till next year. It said 2024, so I thought, well, then they don't really have any immediate plans for Tomorrowland because, they wouldn't be doing that.
I can't imagine. I can't see them taking out Star Tours anytime soon. You know, I mean, people say, well, there's Galaxy's Edge. Yes, but Galaxy's Edge is not the same thing as Star Tours.
Yeah, I've heard many things. Yeah, just move it over there. Yeah, you can't have two the same. I mean, they're similar track. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's plenty to be up on. But so the only thing that's really left right now is, let's talk about refurbs. Do you have that information?
I do. So the Golden Horseshoe is closed now until October 1st. I assume it's just for some painting and touching up, you know.
Yeah, maybe they're taking it out. No, I'm just bite your tongue. And,
hiatus. closed indefinitely. So, Golden Zephyr has been down
It's been too windy.
Yeah. September 29th, it'll be back. So, everyone that's been waiting for that, it will return. Now, the big one, Space Mountain, we finally have a reopening date because I've been reporting this for a while. Space Mountain is down from September 18th until October 27th is when it returns. So a little over a month. Was that about 5 weeks or so? So not too bad. But if you're planning to go to Disneyland and you want to ride Space Mountain, you need to go very soon or after October 27th. Mark Twain is down September 17th, and there's no return date on that yet on the calendar. It's a Small World will be closed October 23rd, and I'm assuming it will be back November 10th for the start of the holiday season. For that,
you don't flood anything.
Well, yeah,
remember they did that one year.
Yeah. So that will be back probably November 10th as the Small World holiday overlay, so which is very popular. That's all I have.
Well, you know, something I forgot, I just remembered that I didn't include one of the things they announced at Destination D was the and it's because it's not, we don't currently have it, the Country Bears. They're going to change, they're going to have a new Country Bear show where, you know, Walt Disney World has the original Country Bears attraction. Mm-hmm. Disneyland removed theirs in 2001. What did you think, Lynn? Did you hear about it?
Yeah, I think at first I thought, because, you know, you don't want to what is this going to be? you know, like what they did with the Tiki Room.
Under new management.
as a Country Bear Jamboree under new management. But at the same time, maybe this is a similar story like Tarzan's Treehouse, because maybe they, you know, the attendance has been very low, and they thought, well, people will freak out if we get rid of it. But what about if we tried to redo it and get attendance up again?
Yeah.
So that's probably what happened, but there's probably a couple other things, but we don't need to get into that. But I think it'll be good. I mean, a lot of those songs, they're kind of older, and you want to relate to younger kids nowadays. So,
I've got my reservations about it.
Yeah,
I understand why they're doing it, but it's just like, because they're going to be singing like country versions of Disney songs, is what they
trying to do.
Which, I mean, the whole thing is, if you've never seen the show, you should probably see it on YouTube. It's like these bears have a theater that they're, and they perform for people, and it's singing, playing music and singing. And there have been three shows over the years. There was the original Country Bear Jamboree. There's been the Christmas special. And there's a Vacation Hoedown. And like I said, Disneyland got rid of theirs. And that's where the Winnie the Pooh attraction is now. And, there's already so many places to hear Disney songs. I like Disney songs, but there's already so many places at the resort you're going to hear Disney songs. And it's me, and I don't want to give them any ideas, so hopefully they don't hear this part. But to me, it's almost like, okay, we're going to go through the Jungle Cruise, and we're going to replace, like, the lion. We're going to make Simba one of the lions, and we're going to, the snake is going to be, the snake from the Jungle Book, and, making them all Disney characters. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be it's supposed to be this, in the case of the bears, it's supposed to be like this country music venue. It's not supposed to be, this is a Disney venue. It's supposed to be, this is a country music venue. It's like the architecture on Main Street. And again, I hope I'm not giving them any ideas. Main Street at Disneyland is an idealized version of a Midwestern American town circa 1900. There's nothing specifically Disney about that architecture. I mean, now we associate it with Disney, but, it's like saying, well, that's not very Disney, so we're gonna change Main Street into, another version of Toontown, and make it all relevant to Disney animation or something. I hope I'm not giving them ideas. So
Country Bears, I mean, we all know the story from the popular movie, right? So you don't have to explain the story to me. I don't know. Yeah. Is it better than them getting rid of it? Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't want them to get rid of it,
Right. So if you want to see the original show for now, after this changes, you'll have to go to Tokyo for now.
And how would someone do that, Len?
I don't know if we can book Tokyo. Probably, maybe somewhere.
But you'll find out if you can.
I can figure it out. Yeah.
So, of course, I hope people haven't, I hope people didn't think, oh, the podcast is over. I'll, and miss this whole discussion. But yeah, I bring it up. I say it's relevant to this, to our, what we cover, because it used to be a Disneyland attraction.
Yeah.
So,
sure. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about that too.
Yeah.
Well, so. Thank you for this current events. I know it was a longer episode, but a lot of good stuff to talk about. I
had to catch up on everything. We do the alternate episodes that we do is our main topic episodes. So the previous one we did was kind of an overview, a survey of Disneyland history. So if there's been a lot of references that we've been making that you just didn't understand, that might help. Or if you want to introduce somebody to the podcast or introduce them to Disneyland history, that's a really good episode to share with them. We'll have another main topic episode in about a week. And and thank you for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast in multiple places for free. Like us or follow us, comment, leave comments on the podcast where you listen to us, so that other people can find it.
For sure. All right. Well, thank you for listening.